So we got some kids that are like, school. And we have some kids that are like, school. So any kids in here excited for school, lift your hands. All right, any kids in here not excited for school, lift your hands. Oh, wow. All right. Whoa, hey. Any moms and dads in here excited for school? Woo! All right, any moms and dads like, no, not excited for school? No? Couple, yeah? All right. All right, what we're going to do right now is we want to take some time and we want to just take a moment and we want to pray for our kids, but we also want to pray for our teachers. I'll tell you what, Evan, we were just in school a few different times this past week, and then we know we had our women's ministry get to go serve in the schools. And I'll tell you what, we are so thankful for our schools. Because, and I know we have anybody, if you work in the schools or Alma or Van Buren or the surrounding areas, why don't you stand up? If you're here this morning, you work for our schools, stand up. I'll tell you what, there's more than this in this church. There are in other churches this morning. Guys, this is beautiful. They're in other churches this morning as well. And we're in a public school, yet we have people that have a foundation that are standing to love these kids, to rely on the grace of God, to be a light, to be a direction, whatever in the moment. And so what we want to do is we want to pray for the teachers first, and all of our facility, all the faculty of Alma and Van Buren and surrounding areas. We want to pray for them, and then we want to plead the blood of Jesus over our children this year. Amen? So stretch your hands out, just in agreement. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together in agreement. And we thank you for your grace this year on every staff and faculty that are serving our children. And Lord, we just thank you that you bring a special blessing on them for serving your little ones, for serving our children. Lord, I thank you for your love that it dwells on the inside of them to just overflow this year. I thank you for divine appointments and for deposits that are going to be made, for using these precious feet and hands to shape and to love and to point. Lord, I thank you. We thank you for it. We call them blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to plead the blood of Jesus over those kids as we go this
year? So students, if you're in here, you can just stand. Stand.
Come on, kiddos.
A lot are back in the children's ministry today.
And all the kids in the back.
And as we were talking about this and sensing wanting to, you know, pray over all the teachers and the students and stuff, the students really stuck out to me because just understanding even greater this year what you guys carry. And that you carry the greater one. You carry light, just like what Pastor Nate was talking about in the offering. You have that light in you. That means darkness that's around you, it can't penetrate. It can't operate. And so just applying the blood of Jesus over you, and every day you go into school, you just say, thank you, I'm anointed. To do what? To preach the good news. To bring recovery of sight to the blind. To be a light. To be an example in word and in deed. Amen. So, Father, we just lift up these students to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And all the children also back in the children's ministry classrooms all today. And we just thank you, that their steps are ordered of you this year. We thank you for wisdom and direction. We thank you, Lord, for protection. We apply the blood of Jesus over them, and we say no weapon formed against them can prosper. We thank you for healing and wholeness in their bodies. And we just thank you that this will be a blessed year. This will be a year in which each student flourishes in their schoolwork, in school, in sports, in every area, Father. We thank you, flourishing spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. There's no weapon formed against any of our schools that will prosper.
Yes, amen.
We plead the blood of Jesus, and we loose angels, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, 13, and 14, that are angels. The Bible says, look it up. Put it down. Write it down. He says that are not all spirits given to us, the heirs of salvation, to minister on our behalf. So we send angels before to make a way, and we send angels with and behind. And he's given his angels charge over us. We need to make use of them. So we do that. We plead the blood. Loose angels round about our schools, and we're not having any attack of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll leave it with you, Ben.
Okay. Well, I get the privilege of ministering today. And so excited. And we have, we're in our series, Fairy Tales. How many of you have been enjoying this series? So good. Yay, can I get the table? Sorry. I can barely see over that thing, especially if it's on the floor. But we've been in our series, Fairy Tales, and this series has just really blessed me, and this is, This has been a series that I feel like the Lord just really spoke through and used in so many areas. And so I would encourage you, you know, if you've missed, or even if you've been here for all of them, go back and listen, because I believe there's words to us that, you know, the word comes and we get it, and maybe that week it's in our, you know, in our heart and in our mind, and it's there, but then, you know, the next week we can kind of forget it. So bring back those things, especially if there's, you know, certain weeks that have really ministered to you. I would encourage you, get that out. Play it on your way to work. Play it when you're at home, but let the word minister to you. Let's just pray before we get started this morning. Father, we worship you. We thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that our steps are ordered of you. Therefore, we're here this morning for a purpose, for a reason, because you have a word on time for us this morning. And that's where our expectation is. It's not on a man. It's not on a church, but it's on you. And we put our expectation on you, and we say we're hungry today for you. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. It's full of power. And as we see it today, as we hear it today, we are changed. And we don't leave this place the same way we came. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So today we're going to be looking in this series, Fairy Tales. If you don't know, we've been looking at different, I say Disney, but I guess some have been Pixar. So just different little cartoons and fairy tales. And like Pastor Nate has said this whole series, you know, Jesus taught in parables, right? He didn't just get up and just, he taught in ways that people could understand. He used examples from their time so that they could grasp it. And these fairy tales and these little video clips, I think, have been so good at just highlighting different things. And then we can go to the word. It's kind of like our modern day parable. We can go to the word and then we can see what the word says about it. And so this morning we're going to be talking about Pinocchio. How many of you have seen Pinocchio? So this was like one of the newer or older Disney movies. It was like in the 1940s, I think it came out. But anyway, how many of you know Pinocchio? Most of the time when you look at the story, you think, don't lie, right? Because his nose, his little nose gets long. And originally, that's actually what I thought I was going to be teaching on was the truth. But as I just was studying more and praying about it, I believe the Lord wants us to go this way today, which is all about being led by the Spirit of God. And how many of you know what's the name of the little guy that Pinocchio had? Jiminy Cricket. So, and he was his conscience, right? And one thing I want to point out, as good as Jiminy Cricket was, there was even times when Jiminy Cricket, if you look throughout the movie, was like, see you later, Pinocchio, you're on your own. He got frustrated or whatever. But did you know we have the Holy Spirit who never gets frustrated? Do you know we have the Holy Spirit who, even as good as Jiminy Cricket was, he couldn't be with Pinocchio 24/7. Because he was another little, I don't want to say human, but little animal that was alive. We can't be everywhere at one time. But you know the beauty of the Holy Spirit is he's with us 24/7. Aren't you thankful that God didn't give us just little Jiminy Crickets? But he gave us the Holy Spirit who is with us 24/7. And what is he there for? He is there to lead you and to guide you. Did you know you're not on your own? Say that, I'm not alone. Did you know even when you're driving in your car and you might think I'm alone, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit's always with you. So we're going to watch this. It's about 15 minutes, I think. So,
one night, a long time ago, my travels took me to a quaint little village. It was a beautiful night. The stars were shining like diamonds high above the roofs of that sleepy old town. Pretty as a picture. As I wandered along the crooked streets, There wasn't a soul to be seen. The only sign of life was a lighted window in the shop of a woodcarver named Geppetto.
Now, it won't take much longer. Just a little more paint and it's all finished. I think he'll be all right. Don't you, Figaro? Now I have just a name for you. Pinocchio. Little wooden head, go play your part. Bring a little joy to every heart. Little do you know, and yet it's true, that I'm mighty proud of you. Oh, Figaro, look! Look, the wishing star! Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I might have the wish I make tonight. Figaro, you know what I wish? I wish that my little Pinocchio might be a real boy. Wouldn't that be nice? Just think, a real boy.
A very lovely thought, but not at all practical.
What's going on here? As I live and breathe, a fairy.
Good Geppetto, you have given so much happiness to others. You deserve to have your wish come true. Little puppet made of pine, wake. The gift of life is thine.
Whew. What they can't do these days.
I can move. I can talk. I can walk.
Yes, Pinocchio, I've given you life.
Why?
Because tonight, Geppetto wished for a real boy.
Am I a real boy?
No, Pinocchio. To make Geppetto's wish come true will be entirely up to you.
Up to me?
Prove yourself brave, truthful, and unselfish, and someday you will be a real boy.
A real boy!
That won't be easy.
You must learn to choose between right and wrong.
Right and wrong? Well, how will I know?
Probably know.
Your conscience will tell you.
What are conscience?
What are conscience? Well, I'll tell you. A conscience is that still, small voice that people won't listen to. That's just the trouble with the world today.
Are you my conscience?
Who, me?
Would you like to be Pinocchio's conscience? Very well. What is your name?
Cricket's the name. Jiminy Cricket.
Neil, Mr. Cricket.
Huh? No tricks now.
I dub you Pinocchio's conscience. Lord High Keeper of the knowledge of right and wrong. Counselor in moments of temptation. And guide along the straight and narrow path. Arise, Sir Jiminy Cricket.
Well. My. Say, that's pretty swell. Gee, thanks. But, don't I get a badge or something?
Well, we'll see.
You mean maybe it will?
I shouldn't wonder.
Make it a gold one?
Maybe. Now remember, Pinocchio, be a good boy. And always let your conscience be your guide.
Go on. Say something.
Gee, you're funny. Do it again.
You do talk.
someday, I'm gonna be a real boy.
A real boy? It's my wish. It's come true. Figaro.
Now, close your eyes and go to sleep.
Why?
Oh, everybody has to sleep. Figaro goes to sleep. And Cleo and besides, tomorrow you've got to go to school.
Oh, wait, wait. Come back here, Figaro. School is not for you.
Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, son. Hurry back.
Dad. Quite a scholar, I see. Look, kiddie, a man of letters. Here's your book.
I'm going to school.
School? Ah, yes. Then you haven't heard of the easy road to success. No? I'm speaking, my boy, of the theater. Here's your apple. Bright lights, music, applause, fame.
Fame?
Yes. And with that personality, that profile, that physique, why, he's a natural-born actor. Eh, kiddie?
But I'm going...
Straight to the top. Why, I can see your name in lights. Lights 6 feet high. What is your name?
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. P-I-N. P-I... Oh, we're wasting precious time. Come on to the theater.
Hi, diddly dee. An actor's life for me. A high silk hat and a silver.
Pinocchio. Over here. Over here.
Oh, Jiminy. I'm going to be an actor.
All right, son. Take it easy now. Remember what I said about temptation?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's him.
Oh, no, Jiminy. That's Mr. Honest John.
Honest John? All right, then. Here's what we'll tell him. You can't go to the theater, say thank you just the same. You're sorry, but you've got to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Pinocchio. Oh, Pinocchio. Woo-hoo.
Here they come, Pinocchio. Now you tell them.
Woo-hoo. Oh, little boy.
Ah, oh, there you are. Oh, wait. Ah, yes. On to the theater.
Goodbye, Jiminy. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Diddle-dee-dee.
Huh?
And that goodbye for me.
Hey, no, you can't go. Okay.
Well, guess he won't need me anymore. What does an actor want with a conscience anyway?
For you, my little Pinocchio.
For me? Gee, thanks. I'll run right home and tell my father.
Home? There! This will be your home, where I can find you always.
No!
Yes! To me, you are belonging.
Oh, Jiminy!
Pinocchio, it's me, your old friend Jiminy, remember?
Jiminy! Gee, I'm glad to see you.
I should have listened to you, Jiminy.
Take it easy, son. Come on. Blow. Atta boy.
The star again. The lady. The fairy.
What'll she say? What'll I tell her?
You might tell her the truth.
Why didn't you go to school?
School? Well, I...
Go ahead, tell her.
I was going to school till I met somebody.
Met somebody?
Yeah, two big monsters with big green eyes. Why, I...
Monsters? Weren't you afraid?
No, ma'am, but they tied me in a big sack.
You don't say... And where was Sir Jiminy?
Oh, Jiminy?
Hey, leave me out of this.
They put him in a little sack.
No.
Yes.
How did you escape?
I didn't. gonna chop me into firewood. Oh, look! My nose! What's happened?
Perhaps you haven't been telling the truth, Pinocchio.
Perhaps.
Oh, but I have. Every single word. Oh, please help me. I'm awful sorry.
You see, Pinocchio, a lie keeps growing and growing until it's as plain as the nose on your face.
She's right, Pinocchio. You better come clean.
I'll never lie again. Honest, I won't.
Please, Your Honor. Miss Fairy, give him another chance. For my sake, will you?
Well, I'll forgive you this once. But remember, a boy who won't be good might just as well be made of wood.
We'll be good, won't we?
Very well. But this is the last time I can help you.
Gee, look, Jiminy. My nose.
Nothing can stop me now. I'll make good this time.
You'd better.
I will. I'm going to school.
That's the stuff, Pinocchio.
I'd rather be smart than be an actor.
Now you're talking. Come on, Slowpoke. I'll race you home.
Oh, hello.
Well, how is the great actor?
I don't want to be an actor. Stromboli was terrible.
He was?
Yeah, he locked me in a birdcage.
He did?
Uh-huh. When I learned my lesson, I'm a pleasure island.
Yes, that happy land of carefree boys, where every day's a holiday.
But I can't go.
Why, of course you can go. I'm giving you my ticket. Here.
Thanks, but I'm...
Oh, I insist. Your health comes first. Come, the cook departs at midnight. Hi-diddle-dee-dee, it's Pleasure Isle for me. Where every day...
Your name's Lampwick. What's yours?
Pinocchio.
Ever been to Pleasure Island?
But Mr. Honest John gave me...
Me neither. But they say it's a swell joint. No school, no cops. You can tear the joint apart. And nobody says a word.
Come in and pick a fight, boys.
Oh, boy, a scrap. Come on, let's go in and poke somebody in the nose.
Why?
Oh, just for the fun of it.
Okay, Lampy.
Pinocchio! Pinocchio! There's something phony about all this. I've got to get him out of here. Pinocchio! Pinocchio!
What's the matter, Slats? Losing your grip?
Pinocchio! So this is where I find you. How do you ever expect to be a real boy? Look at yourself. Smoking. Playing poo. Oh! You were coming right home with me this minute.
Hey. Who's the beetle?
Hang on, put me down.
I'll get out of here.
He's my conscience. He tells me what's right and wrong.
What? You mean to tell me you take orders from a grasshopper?
Lampwick says a guy only lives once.
Lampwick?
Come on, come on. Let him go.
Lampwick. Lampwick.
Burns me up. After all I tried to do for him.
Who's his conscience anyway? Me or that hoodlum Lampwick?
Hear that beetle talk? You'd think something was gonna happen to us. Conscience. Nah, fooey. Where'd he get that stuff? How do you ever expect to be a real boy? What's he think I look like?
You gotta help me. Be a pal. Call that beetle. Call anybody.
Oh, what's happened? Jiminy, help!
Wait, Pinocchio. The kids, the boys, they're all donkeys.
Oh, you too.
Come on, quick, before you get any worse. This way, Pinocchio. It's the only way out. It's a message.
What's it say?
It's about your father.
Where is he?
Why, it says here he went looking for you, and he was swallowed by a whale.
Swallowed by a whale?
Yeah.
Father!
Pinocchio, my boy, I'm so happy to see you.
Me too.
Prove yourself brave, truthful, and unselfish, and someday you will be a real boy. Awake, Pinocchio. Awake.
I'm a real boy!
You're alive! And you are a real boy!
Yay! Whoopee!
A real live boy!
Yay! So, what did we see here in Pinocchio? He could have saved himself a lot of trouble had he what? Listened to his conscience. But like I said, you saw a few times there where Jiminy Cricket was just like, whatever. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's never like whatever to us. And one of the parts I love is even in that part, you know, where they're turning into donkeys and stuff, and he's in trouble and there's chaos all around, you know that he called out and Jiminy Cricket was there and let him out. You know God is that good. He doesn't just, you know, he's so good to keep us from stuff if we'll listen to him. But, you know, even if we override those things that we know and we're in the middle of a bad situation, we're in the middle of something that is detrimental to us, that God is still there with the Holy Spirit saying, hey, follow me, I can get you out. That is the goodness of the Lord. And so I just saw that there, and I thought that was so awesome. And so we know, just like Pinocchio, life is a series of choices, right? You made a choice today, didn't you? How did you get here today? By choices, by decisions, right? You woke up. Hopefully lots of us made a decision to put on deodorant, brush our teeth, right? So we came here today because of decisions that we make. So you know where we are in life, and we taught this before, but where we are in life today is a product of decisions and choices that we've made, right? Where you are today is a product of choices that you've made, not that anybody else has made, that you've made. So what do we know? Life is full of decisions. If we could count how many decisions in a day we make, it is a lot. And you know what? We're not smart enough on our own to always make the right decisions. No matter how much you go to school, school's great. No matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how much you read on Google, no matter how much you think you know about the future, you don't know everything, nor will you ever know everything. Which is why when Jesus left, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. Even Jesus with his disciples couldn't be with them 24/7. And you know what? When he said, hey, and John, when he said, hey, I'm going away and I'm going to send you a comforter, it's going to be better. At that time, they didn't even know. No, oh my gosh, they were freaked out. You can't leave us. You've been with us this long. What does that mean? But you know what Jesus knew? I'm sending you someone even better. Why? Because he'll be with you always. Aren't you thankful that God didn't just put us here on the earth and said, man, do your call, do the plan of God, and I hope you make it. But he gave us someone 24/7 to be with us. And we have to take advantage of the Holy Spirit, not in a bad way, but in a good way. Man, if I've been given something to be my help, and to help lead me and guide me, why would I not take advantage of this all the time? And you know, we can. And I believe this is something so crucial for us, every born-again Christian, to know, is how to be led by the Spirit of God. This is so important. And many times we're making decisions in our life solely off the natural things and not ever going to the Word, not ever taking a moment to pause and say, Lord, is this right? Is this what you're speaking to me? Okay, and we're going to look at this today. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're going to read this scripture here. It says, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a key. And I learned this in elementary school at our church. And so I have a little example here that I'm going to use. But did you know you are a three-part being? And this is so key. If you could just even get this today, this would be so key for you, that you are a three-part being. What do we see in this scripture here? That it says you are a soul, a spirit, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So say that with me. I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. So we're going to call this guy, I forget what they call him, Johnny or something, I don't remember. That's like the, what? Ted? Oh, Ted. Okay, Ted. Teddy, that's it. It was Teddy. Okay. You know, Teddy and Johnny, like all these names are the ones they always used in kids' class. So, this is Teddy. Okay? But what you see here, Matthew, stand up. I can pick on you. You're my son. Okay, yeah, turn around. So this is Matthew. But you know what you're looking at, Matthew, right now? He has a cool Jordan shirt on, cool Nikes. But you know what? That's not Matthew. This outer shell is not Matthew. This is just his body. This is just the place where his spirit is dwelling right now. It's like a house. You know, I can go into my house and I'm not my house, right? I can be in my house, but I'm not my house. So, thank you. God has given us a house called a body. But you know what? What you see, when I look at people, what I'm seeing, I'm not seeing the real them. I'm seeing the body, the outer shell. But you know what? We have a spirit on the inside that looks just like us. But you know what that is? That's the real us. That's the real us. So when my body dies, this body decays. How many of you know we're all getting older, right? And at some point, we will be buried in the ground unless Jesus comes back before then. So what? Our body is always decaying and growing older. But guess what? Our spirit is always alive. When we're born again, our bodies don't get recreated, right? When you ask Jesus into your heart, did your body change? Did your hair go from blonde to brown? Did you look a little bit more handsome or more pretty? No, did those desires and temptations that you had before and ways of thinking, did those automatically just switch? No. But what was made new? Our spirit, which is what? It's an eternal being. Okay? So understanding this, that we what? We have a body and a soul, but the real us is the spirit. Say, my real me is my spirit. Okay? So, man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. So there's an outward man, which is the body, and there's the inward man, which is the spirit. When you got born again, this is what we said. Your spirit is what got born again and changed, not your natural body. So we have the same body, same desires, same temptations. So, what do we have to do now? We receive Jesus, our spirit's made new. But you know what? We still have wrong ways of thinking, wrong ways of doing. You saw that with Pinocchio, right? He still was tempted in ways. So what do we have to do? Let's look at Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire of renewal of your mind. New ideals and new attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what do we see here? We have to do something. God does his part of changing our spirit, right? Getting a new spirit. But the body and the mind part is our part. So what's our job? We have to take the word of God. That's the only thing that can transform your mind to think the way God thinks. Right? So you know what? If we want to say we want to be led by the Spirit, just like I know my husband's voice, he could call, and even though on the caller ID it says his name, he could call and talk to me, or my close friends could call and talk to me, and I would know who they are. Right? Why? Because I'm familiar. I know that voice. But you know what? Joe Blow calling me, like a telemarketer or something, I don't know them. I'm not going to recognize them. So what this does, when we get into the Word of God, when we open it up, we should expect to hear something. We should expect to get something. But not only that, the Word of God is actually God speaking. It's actually God speaking to us. Many times the people look at the Bible as so dry. Why? Because we're looking at it all wrong. This is alive. It says that. So guess what you can do? Before you open up the word, you can say, Lord, I thank you. You said your word is alive and full of power. So I thank you today. It's alive. And it speaks to me. And I get exactly what I need out of it. And you know what? Even if you park on one verse, we were sharing this with the youth the other night in youth group. Even if you just park on one verse and you get that one verse and it begins to minister to you and you begin to meditate it and all through that day, guess what that's actually doing? It's renewing your mind. So guess what? 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, I am healed. That's a promise in the word. But you know what? Satan comes with sickness or there's the temptation there for something. Well, guess what I do? I know 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I'm healed. So I can either take what the enemy's giving me, or I can go to the word and I can say, no, by his stripes I am healed. And throughout the whole day, what do? I'm meditating on that. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you that you've already made me whole. This was a promise in your word. So what's it doing? Then Susie comes over and says, guess what? So-and-so died, and she was a good Christian. And I guess it was just her time to go, and I guess God just teaches us through sickness sometimes. Well, guess what? If your mind's not renewed to what the word says, you'll just take that like bait and agree, yeah, you're right. But you know what? If we know that Jesus died not just for our sins and for us to go to heaven, but for in this life here and now to live healed, to live victorious, to live prosperous, and we know what this says, then when those things come, or in other words, the conformity of the world comes to us, our mind is being renewed by this word. Therefore, it's not really a temptation, and it's not really a problem. Why? Because we're getting the word in us. So what do we see? Thank you, Lord, that our spirits are made new and eternity is forever settled. Glory to God. But here in this life, we have a job to do of what? Transforming our mind. And by doing this and by getting in the Word of God or listening to teachings of the Word of God, it's building up our spirit man. This was another example they did. So if I have a weak spirit, which I don't have. Let's just pretend he doesn't look so muscly. So this spirit man is really weak and really. So when the enemy comes, which is what? My spirit. So say, my spirit's really weak. And the enemy comes with thoughts of whatever, stealing, lying, cheating. If I'm weak, guess what that means? I can't fight that off, right? But if I am constantly filling my spirit through my ears, through my eyes, with the word of God, guess what happens? my spirit actually gets stronger. So then what is my spirit able to do? It's actually able to override what my body and my flesh and my feelings are telling me to do. So many times we're trying to say, I can't do that again. I can't do that again. I can't do that again. And the problem is we're not ever filling ourselves with the word. And we're relying on our human ability to try to get over temptation and to try to get over problems and get over situations when God's given it to us the whole time by just saying, man, get in the word and feed your spirit. That's why I love this prayer and fasting coming up. Guess what it does? If you do it, strengthens your spirit. Because guess what you do? I'm going to lay down Facebook. I'm going to lay down distractions. I'm going to lay down food. I'm going to lay down whatever it is, TV shows, whatever it is that is feeding this. And I'm going to say, I'm going to devote more time to feeding the real me. The real me. So guess what that also does? Your spirit then becomes sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Where then when the Holy Spirit, you know, I hear so many kids and so many people say, well, I just don't know the voice of God. I just don't know. No, you do know. First of all, you have to quit saying that. What does it say? Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. So you do know his voice. So don't let words of doubt and those kind of words ever come out anymore that you don't know. You do know. So what do you start saying? I do know the voice of my good shepherd. And then one way you back that up is by getting in his word and start to know his voice. And you know what? It becomes clear. Just like with Nate. I didn't know his voice when we first met. But you know what? Now he can call and man, it's like, I know it. Maybe some of you that I just met, maybe I would kind of know it and I kind of be like, man, I think that's so-and-so, but I'm not quite sure. Have you ever had that before? Someone calls or you hear someone speak and you think, man, that kind of sounds like so-and-so, but I'm not quite sure. And then there's other people that talk that you have no idea. That's kind of the stages you can go through as a believer where you're not hearing it all because you're not spending time here to get to know his voice. Maybe it's like you're starting to get into this and it's like, man, yeah, you know what? I think that was the Lord. And you step out on that and it was right, then you remember that. That was God's voice. Okay, that was that still small voice on the inside. And then there's some of us where it's like, man, you know the voice of the Spirit and you're doing that. And you know, no matter where you're at, knowing the voice like this can go to nil real quick. If we're not spending time in his word and putting it in us. But you know that the Holy Spirit is never not speaking. Did you know we have a guide and he does his job well? Extremely well, like perfectly well. So he's always leading. Our job is, are we listening and are we obeying? So when we come to a crossroad, we should never wonder, what school should I go to? What school should I go to? Who should I marry? Big decisions in life. Should I take that job? Should I move over here? Should I do this? And you know how the world does it? And many Christians do it. Pays more money. Oh, must be God. I'll do that. Oh, it's a really good school system. Okay, I'm going to put my kids in that. Yep. Or should I take this job? I don't know, so-and-so was doing it and, you know, looking at all the, weighing all the pros and cons. We do that a lot, right? We weigh the pros and cons. That's not being led. Did you know that? That's being led by money, being led by circumstances. What does it say? We are to be led by the Spirit. So let's look at this verse here. Are you guys hanging with me? Okay, so let's look at Romans 8:14. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Are you a son of God? Guess what that means? You're led by his Spirit. You have the Spirit in you. Okay. Let's look also at John 14. And this is what I was talking about earlier with Jesus. He's John 14, 16 through 17, and then we'll skip down to verse 26. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." And in the Amplified, it describes what this comforter of the Holy Spirit is. He's a counselor. He's a helper. He's an intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. Sounds like a pretty good guy. Sounds like someone that I'm thankful that I have 24/7 at my disposal. "That he may remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him." Say, "I know and recognize the Holy Spirit. For he lives with you constantly and will be in you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Aren't you thankful for a teacher? I know I'm thankful for teachers because I don't have to teach my children in school. I was thankful for teachers in school when I didn't understand things and they helped me understand. Guess what? That's the Holy Spirit's job. When we don't understand things, he's there to help teach us through the word. So he's our teacher. "And he'll cause you to recall and will remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you." Isn't that amazing? So guess what? This is everything that Jesus told us. So if we're not in this, the Holy Spirit, and it's not in us, the Holy Spirit doesn't have much to remind us of. Right? I've said before, there's little songs that pop up from when I was a little kid, you know, just songs from the Word and things. And in my times of distress and trouble, those little songs pop up. But guess why they pop up? Because they were put there. How come when you're fighting sickness, 1 Peter 2:24, "By his stripes I am healed," comes up? Because at some point you've put it there. So if we want the Holy Spirit to do his job, and he is doing his job, give him something to work with. By doing what? What does it say? Hide his words in our heart. That means it's our job to do this. And you know what? With today's day and age, we really don't have an excuse to not. We have such rich teaching. And I've said this before when I've ministered. If you need to know who to listen to, you need, you know, help on where to go and who to search for good, solid faith teaching, I will help you because I am all about that. Scriptures in the Word. All of this is given to us. And in today's technology, we can listen to it on the go anywhere. So we have no excuse to not be feeding our spirit man 24/7. And we should be. Because you know what? We're in a battle. Pinocchio was in a battle. Life is a battle. But you know what? When you have the helper who's with you 24/7, man, you just go right on through. And there's a lot of stuff that you miss because you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to lead you in everyday things. And I'm talking about everyday things. I remember when we were looking, my necklace tilted around. I remember when we were looking for a vehicle, the Suburban that we have now. And we were really needing a vehicle. And we were just, you know, looking around. And, you know, you get like, you spend so much time looking online, looking at stuff, and it just starts to wear you out, like, mentally. And anyway, so we were looking and knew we needed this, and he found one in Alabama. And, I mean, seriously, the search was getting desperate. We were all the way over in Alabama. And so we were on Craigslist looking, and it was in Alabama, and it was a really good deal, like, crazy good deal, better deal than we had seen, and it was exactly the one we wanted. So everything would say, pick up, drive to Alabama, get the vehicle, and come back, right? Mm-mm. Because guess what? I was like, I don't feel right about that. I was like, I just feel like this is super pressured. I just don't feel peace with it. There was something in here. Guys, this is the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead you. Because guess what? He knows what vehicle's best for you. He knows what school's best for you. He knows what relationship is best for you. So he knows the future. So I was getting like a, I don't think this is right. And I told him, and he was not very happy. But I said, please just listen to me on this. And so anyway, I think he had already called the guy and stuff and told him maybe we were coming. He had it all set up. So that was probably even more so. Yeah, I was at a Ford dealership, so someone had, like, traded it in. Anyway, so he had to call and tell him, no, we're not coming. And then he's like, okay, Evan, but now we don't have a vehicle. I'm like, no, God's bringing our vehicle. Yeah. And I said, no. I can tell the story how I want because I'm up here. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, my nose is growing. No. Anyway, long story short, we just thanked the Lord. We got an agreement, and we thanked the Lord that he was bringing it. And not even too much longer. There was one right in Fayetteville. Exactly what we wanted. Better deal. Yeah, it was even better than the one we wanted, because there's a couple things, I think, on that one that we are settling for. Like, literally to the T, the description of what we wanted was everything we wanted, way better deal, and we didn't have to drive to Alabama and take time, take gas. And we got it, and you know, that vehicle has been such a blessing. It still is a blessing, 185,000 miles later. But you know what? God knew. And you know what? We haven't ran into problems with this vehicle. So what am I saying? Let the Holy Spirit guide you on everyday decisions. Don't just go off of, well, so-and-so said it, so I guess I'll just do it, or pressure of the moment, or whatever it might be. Take some time to pause instead of just blowing through stuff and saying, Lord, is this you? Is this you? I would say it's like, Brother Hagin would say this, it's like a green light. On the inside, it's like a green light. Like, you just know, like, yep. But, you know, have you ever got those checks before by the Lord where it's just like, nope, this isn't right, don't do that. Follow that. Why? Because he's trying to keep us out of trouble and harm and frustration. And if we would just follow that leading that's saying, nope, don't do that. No, don't say that. No, don't go there. No, don't buy that. No, don't have your kids go to that school. No, don't let your kids go to that person's house. Guys, I'm telling you, we make so many decisions from pressure, and some of it can even be peer pressure. Well, what are they going to think if I don't let my kids do this? Who cares? You are spiritually and physically responsible for your children. So if you are getting a check about your child going to a party, about your child hanging out with certain friends, about your child going to someone's house, you better follow that cue. Why? The helper's trying to help you. So let the helper help you and save your child and you from trouble. I remember one time, this was just, I'm just trying to give some personal examples so you can see when I was in third grade, you know, all the girls, it was like this popular girls party, and I was invited to go, and yeah, popular in third grade, I know. We're like all that, right? Third grade? And the Mall of America had just opened, okay? It had just recently opened. And, you know, that's like when everybody heard we're going to the Mall of America and we're going to Camp Snoopy and riding roller coasters and shopping and all of this stuff, and it's new, and it's the hugest mall in America. And, of course, you're girls, and you're like, yeah! You're so excited, and everyone's so excited. And then after that, her parents were taking us to a sleepover. And my mom said, you can go to Mall of America, but I am picking you up afterwards. You're not going to the sleepover. And I was not very happy. And I said, I want to go to the sleepover. And she said, I know, but you're not going to the sleepover. And I said, of course, what every kid would ask, why? She said, because I don't feel peace about it. There's something in me, the Holy Spirit's telling me, you're not supposed to go. So I said, okay. For me, that was enough. Okay. Later, we find out there was stuff with the stepdad going on at the party that was not good. I'm very thankful that my mother chose to listen to the Holy Spirit and didn't say because her third grader was saying, I want to go, I'll let you go. Or because other parents might look at you bad or look at her bad because she said no. There's another time where we were in high school, and he went on a trip up to northern Minnesota in the Boundary Waters. And my mom woke up in the middle of the night, and she saw an accident. And she began just praying in the Holy Spirit, praying, and saw him get in an accident. And it wasn't good. So she prayed. That same day, like same time pretty much, because they were driving through the night, he got in a rollover accident. Not one scratch, not one. He was driving, and the whole car rolled down an embankment with his other kid. None of the kids, one of them had stitches, but none of them were seriously injured. Like, the people who came to the wreck were amazed that no one was killed. This is the type of stuff that the Holy Spirit wants us to be a part of and partner with him every day. Decisions. And you know what? I would say majority of us, myself included, we go through the day without ever, ever seeking counsel from the Holy Spirit as to what we're to do. You know, there's many times where it's like you're frustrated and you have two scenarios and you're trying to figure out which one to do. And oh my gosh, I'm so stressed and So what do you start doing? Google. Maybe Google will know. And you type it in. And then Google pops up all these things, and then you see other things where people are saying, no, that's not good, and yes, this is good. So then what do you do? Oh, my gosh, Google can't tell me, so I need to call my friend. And so I'm going to call this friend and this family member and this person and get. And we are using the world's advice more than we are ever consulting the Holy Spirit, who's just over there saying, hey, I'm here to help. You can use me. Everyday small decisions. Okay. Okay, so here's some wrong ways to be led. Okay? Instead of being led by the Spirit, we can be head led. So you think about it, you process it, and you say, yep, from here, here up. That seems right. So I'll go with that. Is that being Spirit led? No. You can be feeling led. Right? It just, how many of you have heard people before? Well, I just did it. Well, why'd you do it? It just felt right. Are we ever to be led by our feelings? Because it feels right. Because you know what? Feelings lie to you. You want to know the other thing? Feelings go away. I don't see Landon still jumping up and down that the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Right? Okay, on the inside. It's just not showing on the outside. So what is that? That feeling of, whoa, jumping around has ended. Your feeling of frustration and different things ends. But then guess what? You make decisions from those places, and then later on you're regretting, why did I do that? Because you were on a high of feelings. And your feelings were telling you, this feels good, so do it. This feels right, so do it. This doesn't feel right, so don't do it. Where in the Word does it say to be led by our feelings? Nowhere. Led by the Spirit. Desire led, so through your eyes, through your ears. This is why it's key, and I will preach this. What goes in your eyes and what goes in your ears is important. You cannot expect to fill yourself with worldly shows, worldly garbage, and then wonder why stuff's happening. Well, it's just a good show. It's just, I've heard this so much. This show's just so funny. And you look at it and I'm thinking, funny? Romans 12:2, do not conform yourself to the world. So if the world thinks it's okay and the world thinks it's funny, we should be actually opposite of that. So don't be filling yourself with garbage. What does that do? It affects how you hear. It's filling yourself. What's it doing? It's just what we talked about before. It's making this weak, and it's making this strong. And guess what? It all starts with just a little thought. You think somebody just wakes up one day and decides to have an affair with their husband or wife? No. Know what it is? It's a product of thinking. A product of wrong shows that you're filling yourself with. Do you think people just wake up and kill people one day? What is it? A product of what they're filling themselves with. People don't just go steal. What is it? It's a product of what they're filling themselves with. So what? We know desires are real. But guess what? You can have spiritual desires. You can get to a place where you don't even desire it anymore. Why? Because you're filling yourself with the word. So we're not ever to be desire-led. That gets us in trouble. Need-led. So what? A need is really speaking to you. You know, something went out, and it's like, we got to get it right now because it's a need. Okay, maybe you do need to get it right now, but if we're getting it right now, let's consult the Holy Spirit on what to get and when to get it and how to do it. Right? Opportunity-led. Man, this is a great opportunity. This opportunity, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is God. Really? It may be God. But are we ever taking the time to say, is this God? Or are we just going with it because it's our first instinct? Money-led. This is a big one. Money likes to talk. And you know what? This makes more money. Or I'm going to get this because it's less money. What if God wants you to pay $300 more for something because he knows that one's going to be the right one that's going to actually last longer? But because we're basing it on I'm saving and pocketing $300, but this thing's a piece of junk and it's going to break down, I'm going to end up having to spend thousands of dollars. This is the type of stuff where we have to be spirit-led. We don't let money talk. A new job comes up and it's more money. Okay, and this may be God's provision for you. But let's at least bring it before the Lord and say, instead of just going, yep, it's more money, I'm taking it. Lord, is this you? Is this what's going to be best for my family, for my marriage? Is this going to pull me out of church? Whatever it might be. Lord, is this you? Not just based off of money. Price-led, we talked about that. Friend or relative-led. Our friends and relatives can, or our spouse, can have a big influence. Well, I think you should do this. And this is how our family's always done it. So this is how you need to do it. Or your friend at work or whatever it might be. We're not led by people. We're not to be people-led. We're to be spirit-led. There's other ones. The news. The news will make you do crazy stuff and believes things and start talking things. We're not led by the news. We're led by the Spirit. Okay. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Where did that one? Let's look Hebrews 4. Actually, sorry, first, can we go to Proverbs 3:5? Thank you. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So what is this verse telling us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Where is that? Is that your body and your flesh? No, that's here. Lord, I trust you. And because I trust you, I'm not leaning to just what I know. I'm trusting you to lead and to guide me. And then what does it say? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lord, I acknowledge you. And I know you have the way. And what does it say? You'll be on your own to direct your path? No, he will direct your path. Why? Because you've placed him in that position to say, you're at the forefront. I'm not leading. You're leading. I'm following you. Okay, now we'll go to Hebrews 4. We talked about this. The word of God speaks. It's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. So what do we see? It separates. The Word of God does that. You don't even have to try to do it. The Word of God does it for you. So guess what? When I'm coming up against a decision and I open the Word and I see something, man, that becomes alive. And you know what? This can shut off. And I see in the Word, man, this is what I need to do. Then guess what happens? Then this gets in line and does it. But the Word of God, what does it say? It's alive and full of power. Aren't you thankful that God gave us an alive book? Amen? Okay, so one of the ways we can learn how to be led is to get into the Word. And then the other thing we talked about is fill yourself with spiritual things. And you can just write this down, Galatians 5:16-17. And this part of the chapter talks all about giving way to the Spirit. Giving way to the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Do we sit and try and go, I'm going to try to do good, or I'm going to try to do this? What did we talk about before? This little guy. This has to come in line if this is stronger. If this is weaker, this will overtake this. But you know what? The Word of God strengthens our spirit. So that what? We can overcome temptations. We can overcome. Pinocchio, if his spirit would have been strong and he would have been sowing to the Spirit, those temptations would have not been an issue. Did he know it was wrong? Yeah, he did. How many times do we do things where we know they're wrong? But you know what? Just like that video, thank you, Lord, the Holy Spirit, even in our wrong, even when we're in the middle and we mess up, he is still there to lead us out. We are never without help. So you know what? If you're in the middle of a battle right now, if you're in the middle of a struggle, the enemy is going to tell you, you're too far gone. You're too far gone to be let out. That's a lie. And you know what it'll make you do? It'll make you not come to the Lord. It'll make you just quit and give up. But you know what? I'm here to tell you this morning, don't give up. Don't quit. Because you have a helper who is there to lead you out. And not only to lead you out, but to lead you out victoriously in any situation that you face. We're never alone. And I know, you know, we have relationships and those are so good. You are, when you're in relationship inside the church body, God provides those people, and that can be a voice of the Holy Spirit to you as well. That, man, when you're down or you're frustrated, you can reach out to somebody and they'll give you the Word on it, which is what? What you need to help get you up and over. So thank you, Lord, for his Word. Thank you, Lord, that we can build our spirit man up to overcome temptation. And another way that we can be led is through our friends, through other people with the Holy Spirit in them. That I'm not talking about being led by friends that give you, oh, woe is me, and yeah, that is horrible, and yeah, they shouldn't have done that to you. I'm talking about faith buddy friends that give you the Word to help get you up and over. There are so many times that I've had friends that send a text or a phone call or something, and man, it's just what I need, and it's like that little boost to be like, yeah. Well, what is that? That was the Holy Spirit putting in whoever my friend is, and say, hey, she needs encouragement today. Send her this scripture. Tell her thank you or whatever. That's the Holy Spirit. And guess what they do? They're hearing and listening, and then they do that. So I would encourage you, too, if you have a friend or somebody that actually reaches out to you and does that, tell them, man, thank you. You heard from the Holy Spirit. Because guess what that does to them? That helps them. Like, man, that was the voice of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he's always watching out for us. And you know what? If we don't get it one way, he'll come another way to ensure that we get it. Amen? So why don't you stand this morning? Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes. thank you, Lord. And I just believe there's people here today where you're like, man, this is all new to me. This teaching, I've never heard something like this. I've never heard that I can be led by the Spirit. I've never heard that there's three parts to me, spirit, soul, and body. And you know what? The Lord is bringing this out today and highlighting it to us as a body because this is something He wants us to get a hold of. To know that you're not alone in life. That you have a helper that He's given you. Jesus left and He gave us a helper who is with us. He's our counselor, our helper, our teacher. He shows us things to come. Our job is to utilize Him. And so just lift your hands this morning. Father, we just say, we need you. And Holy Spirit, we say, thank you. Thank you that you're with us 24/7, that you never leave us. You never forsake us. Even in our mess ups, you're there to help lead us out. So we thank you this morning. Just say this, Holy Spirit, I hear your voice. I listen to your voice. I thank you that you're leading me out, that you're leading me into the great plan, the great destiny that God has for me. Thank you, Lord. We receive it this morning. The ability to do what you've called us to do. And we are your sheep. And we know your voice. Say that. I am his sheep. And I know his voice. And as strangers, I don't follow. Thank you, Lord. So you know when that temptation comes to say, you're not hearing. How do you know that's God? Is that really God? No, enemy. I know the voice of my good shepherd. And as strangers, I don't follow. And then what do? Get in the word. Get those scriptures out. Thank you, Lord. This is what I'm standing on. Thank you, Lord. Even if it's just one scripture for the week that you're meditating on, get it in you. Start getting the word. Start having avenues where that word is flowing into you. And you just watch. It'll become easier to recognize that voice of the Spirit. Amen. Okay, before you go this morning, don't forget we have Wednesday night service. That's another way that you can get the word in you and just be fed. And we love, love, love Wednesday night. So if you haven't ever checked out a Wednesday night, check out Wednesday night. Also, if you are needing prayer for anything, or, you know, you just, after today's message, you just need help, like, man, I need some resources, I need some stuff to help. We are here to help you, and we want to help you. So come forward. We have a team of pastors here. I'll be up front, as well as Pastor Nate. We'd love to pray with you, stand in agreement with you. Amen. You guys enjoy your week. Enjoy today. Maybe go home and take a Sunday nap on a rainy day before school starts. And enjoy the week of school this week. We'll see you all Wednesday.